And good morning. It is a Wednesday morning on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And a media sponsorship partnership that we are really proud of is the work we're doing with Concentrate Media and their on-the-ground IPSI project. And it really defines the sense of community, I think, that we have on this side of 23, which is that there's just not a lot of coverage of the great things happening in Ypsilanti and Ypsilanti Township. So Concentrate Media got together with a lot of community decision makers, change makers, and said, let's embed a reporter in town. And here she is, Brianna Kelly. You've been doing this about a year and a half now?
Just over a year.
Just over a year. Okay. Well, it feels like 6 or 7 years. Okay. Just over a year you've been doing this, and I know that you've gotten to experience a whole lot of IPSI. Let's remind people again, it's concentratemedia.com.
Yes.
And Concentrate Media on Twitter and Instagram.
Just Instagram. Concentrate Media on Instagram. Concentrate A2 on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, we'll get that straight one of these weeks.
Yes.
And then, of course, you can find us at WEMU.org. So you're in the community. You're telling stories about great things happening in Ypsilanti. Not necessarily just positive, wonderful, great news, but people, you know, reaching a hand out and doing what they can for other people in our community. What was the story this week? Where did you explore?
This week, I wrote about some resources that Michigan Works Southeast offers to residents, and primarily I focused on the Expungement Fair, which they've hosted two of now.
And I think when we hear Michigan Works, I think a lot of people think about jobs, right? Jobs. You know, let's help people get jobs. But something we don't talk a lot about are barriers to getting those jobs or getting better jobs or advancing in your own career. And a criminal background can be a huge strike. And that when you're trying to, even if it happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, even if it happened yesterday and you're thinking, I want to do better with my life, and that's going to start with a better paycheck, more stable work, you know, being able to put money in the bank. So you brought in Herb and Walter, okay?
Yes.
And Herb's from Michigan Works.
Yes.
And Walter's a beneficiary of this expungement program, I take it.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and Walter brought his son, who's being technical supervisor for the morning today. All right, beautiful. Welcome. No, that's a good thing. You keep an eye on all of us, all right? If we're doing good, you give us thumbs up. If we're not doing good, you give us thumbs down.
Okay.
All right, keep us on point. All right, Herb, from Michigan Works, tell us a little bit about the office, and then just give us a broad overview of the program that you're working on here.
Okay, well, thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak. Michigan Works Southeast is a conglomerate of five service centers across five counties, one being here in Washtenaw, one in Jackson, one in Livingston, one in Lenawee, and one in Hillsdale. I work at the office here in Washtenaw, and it's our focus to help individuals and businesses form a better economy. You know, by partnering with the businesses, job seekers, and focusing on what we can do to assist those individuals, businesses, and job seekers, you know, accomplish what they look to accomplish, whether that's obtaining employment or whether it's expanding their business.
Okay. And this expungement program is a piece of that. I'm assuming that, you know, this is for people that, again, they want to advance in life and they want to move forward and they've got this thing holding them back. So how did this come up in your office? And give us a basic, how does it work?
Well, basically about 2 years ago, back in 2017, my service center manager, Johnny Epps, who couldn't be here today, but definitely wanted to, he had been receiving calls from different individuals who said, hey, it's difficult for me to gain employment. I'm sometimes able to fill out the applications, go into the office during the interview. They learned that I have a criminal past, and that's a barrier. So he came to our leadership meeting, the service center manager, and asked for ideals. My prior background before working with Michigan Works, I was with the Michigan State Police for a number of years. So I kind of had a little ideal of how we could go about it. And I knew from the start that one of the most important things was to get partners involved. And after talking with the service center manager and our other coworkers at the center, it was determined that we would try to do this. So first, we reached out to the Washtenaw Prosecutor's Office, the Public Defender's Office, the court. We reached out to Washtenaw Literacy. We reached out to Michigan Legal Help, which was a valuable partner. We also went to South Central Legal Aid, South Central Michigan Legal Aid Society. So all of them came in. And this year we just brought in University of Michigan to do our stats. So once we sat down at the table, it was decided, and Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department, I'm sorry, okay. I left out one.
No, no, but, it's a long list. I'm surprised you had that all stuck in your head there, but you've been doing a lot of work. All right, so you got everybody sitting at the table.
Got everybody sitting at the table and brought out ideas how we could make it very convenient. We had heard of other expungement fairs or workshops where they did not have everything under one roof.
Okay.
We wanted to make it very simplistic,
like
and
one-stop
easy,
shop.
A one-stop shop right. for individuals to come in and come out of the workshop with everything done.
Okay.
And that's what we were able to accomplish. Some of the things that we did is the very first thing is you have to check to find out whether you're eligible. So we got with the Michigan State Police. They allowed us to utilize their tool iChat, which is a criminal information tool okay. where you can look up criminal history record. And that was done. So now we could pre-screen individuals to find out if they were even eligible.
Yeah, so they're walking in the door and they might get a quick yes or no right away.
Exactly.
Rather than, let's not waste your whole day here if you know chasing your tail for no reason. If you don't qualify, we're going to give you a no right away. Let's continue with that in a second. I want to bring Walter in here. Okay. He's been sitting here patiently waiting for his turn. Walter, tell me a little bit about your background. I know you were born and raised in Ipsy, and you're local. You qualify as a townie because you were born here. I've been learning all the distinctions.
Yeah.
I think last week it was there was a certain number of decades you had to have lived here. I think that's what we talked about. But
yeah.
It changes from person to person. But welcome, Walter. I know that you went through the program with Michigan Works.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
right.
so tell me a little bit about why you were there and your experience. I mean, don't get into personal stuff if you don't want to. We're looking more for just how this has affected your life and your experience through the process.
Okay, well, excuse me.
No excuse necessary here.
Okay. I heard it through the old grapevine that the Work First could help people with back felony problems.
Okay.
So I went into the office this particular day that they had this day set for that particular day, and I went in there and I seen Johnny, and Johnny said, "They're in the back. Go back there and talk to them." But when I went in the back, I met Mr. Fluker there, and Mr. Fluker said, "Well, we're going to fix it with these people here, and they're going to run an iChat thing on you, see if you qualify."
Okay.
Well, they did that, and that was beautiful. They found out that I qualified, but there was a few little personal things that I had to take care of myself, that I had to go out and do a little running myself, and I went and did those things. And once I did all them things, I proceeded with the program and continued it and finished it, and it was just beautiful.
And about how long did the process take from the moment you walked through the door to your record actually being expunged? I mean, how is it, months or weeks, or how long did it take?
Oh, it took like, I say, about 3 weeks. I mean, not 3 weeks, 3 months.
Okay.
At the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not horrible. I mean,
oh,
you're
no.
talking about, you know, a lifetime of not having that burden on you, that 3 months is a good time invested. Okay.
Yeah, 3 months.
Let's talk a little bit about your experience first. I know that when we were talking before the interview here, you drive truck.
Yeah.
And I don't know, have you ever had a problem because you have to check that little box that said you've had that conviction?
No, what it was, I never had that problem. But see, now they done changed things.
Okay.
And, you know, these newer modern days, things is going on, terrorists and different stuff like that. So now they do background checks on people very thoroughly. So now when they do a background check on you, they'll bring that up, something that you done did back 20, 30 years ago, and that will stop you from getting a job. And I'm like, it never did before. I just did this and this and that, and you know.
Well, it doesn't matter, though, because even if you've been doing this for 20 years, you know, they're going to look at that new piece of information and make a whole judgment about you and your character based on what one little report on a computer says.
Yes.
All right. So we're avoiding that now by going
right.
through this process. Let's talk about that for a minute, that stigma. I mean, have you ever felt like people are judging you because you have a felony in your past?
Yes.
All right. And how has that affected you? I mean, I'm obviously you got your son here. You
yeah.
know, what lessons in life are you teaching because of this process you've gone through? What have you experienced? I mean, what has it done to you as just a man trying to make a living, trying to provide for his family?
Well, what it done to me is changed my life around, I'll tell you that. You don't want to get in trouble. You want to stay good with people. You want to, I don't know how to say it, but you just want to be good with the community.
Right.
I mean, you go out, you look for a job, you start filling out these applications. You don't really think about it. But then when those people say, we got to do a background check, and then all of a sudden they call you up on the phone and says, well, you didn't pass your background. Mm. You know, I got a lot of friends that did that. So I said, well, man, I better change something real quick. So I found out about the work first with this set aside. And I said, well, man, let me go take care of that. So I went and took care of that. Now I feel like I'm pretty open for pretty well.
So less stress for sure.
Yeah.
You can go out there and when you're moving from company to company, if you're looking for new work, it's not something that's wearing on your mind. Oh. You're just selling Walter's benefits of being Walter and Walter's experience, not anything, you know, going back into the past and looking at other things.
Yes.
All right. Herb, is that a pretty common story for you that, you know, these people are coming in, they're stressed because they're looking for work, they're looking to better themselves, their lives, provide from their families, whatever. And it's hard. It's harder with that conviction sitting at mark sitting on your record.
That's definitely the truth. I mean, we find that several individuals, they'll come in, they'll have the skills, they'll have the necessary soft skills that employers are looking for, but that one mark, that barrier, holds them back. It's stressful for the individual searching for employment. It's even stressful for the business owner. We've had business owners come in and say, yep, I was ready to hire that individual until we did their background. Mm. So this is an opportunity to, if you meet the eligibility requirements, you can have that taken out of the equation. Because now, you know, businesses or the general public can't see that. And it gives you at least an opportunity to go into an interview and say, yes, I haven't been convicted. Yes, I'm ready to work. And sell yourself because of your skills and your opportunity, not a stigma.
So let's talk about it in the state of Michigan now. If you've gone through this process, you don't have to check the little box anymore that says you've been convicted. And
that's correct.
you can honestly answer, no, I don't have a prior conviction.
Yep, that's correct.
All right. And that's great news. I think we talked about the stress angle, but you brought up the business angle. Let's talk about some unfortunate stereotypes for a minute. And I think that there are businesses that are wary mm-hmm. of individuals simply because they have a prior criminal conviction. And I think that there are people in general who've never been through the system, quote unquote, that think of people with a conviction in a very specific way. Mm-hmm. You know, is doing this work, and Walter, you can speak from your personal perspective too, has going through this program, have doing this work, do you think it's changing people's minds? I mean, is it really opening the eyes of our community, the people that run businesses, that hire people, the people that just bump into people like Walter on the streets and make them more comfortable with the fact that we're not talking about a small segment of our community here. These are good, hardworking, honest people, a lot of them, mm-hmm. and we haven't been giving them a shot because of that checkbox, and now we're moving towards that. So, I mean, Walter, you look like you're ready to share. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell me about what's your thoughts on this.
Well, what I have learned about this is that jobs don't like it. When an employee goes in there to get hired and they take the time out to look over your application, that's paying somebody to do that.
Right.
They're taking time to do a background check on you. That's paying somebody to do that. Well, I heard on the radio that employees don't like that. They're wasting money trying to get people jobs that they could use money towards giving people raises.
Right.
This is money to just going out for. So I think this really helps.
Good.
Employees, it helped people like myself, so it helps a lot of things, you know.
Well, let's worry less about things we shouldn't have to worry about, and worry more about finding great people and making them into better employees and keeping them happy and
yeah.
keeping them there. I think you're right. What you're hitting on is that universally, it's less expensive for a business, even a real dollars. Over time to keep a great person employed than to go find a second or go find a third person and keep retraining and keep
yeah.
bringing them back in.
Yeah.
So Herb, from your perspective, I mean, do you have a story? Have you seen somebody's mind get changed about the quality or kind of people that come through this program? I mean, we talked a little bit before the interview here. I think there's a stereotype of a certain kind of person this helps, but I think it helps a much wider base than most people would think of off the top of their heads.
Well, I think now governments, legislatures, businesses are becoming more and more aware of the fact that people make mistakes. But if you give a person an opportunity once they have, you know, corrected the mistake and now are back looking for an opportunity, if you give them one, a lot of times you're going to find that those individuals are great employees, great neighbors. One of the problems that when you look at the criminal justice system, you know, initially it was a push just to punish. But now there's a strong push to rehabilitate and prevent the returning individual or recidivism, you know. And doing that, it's been noticed that if you provide someone with housing and employment, the chances of them repeating that same mistake and going back lessens, which makes them better community members, which makes them harder workers. So I think businesses are starting to change their mind. There's, of course, as you well know, there's a push for ban the box. But I think with this, the statistics that University of Michigan is assisting us with, this is information that we can show the legislature, hey, this makes a difference. This helps. I was recently at the City of Detroit's expungement fair, and they came and watched ours in Washtenaw, and then they put one on. And now there's a push to try to create or recreate this whole thing statewide, you know, to assist individuals. Because, of course, one of the harder reasons why more people haven't taken advantage of it is there's this mistake that you have to get an attorney to do this. And of course, as we well know, attorneys, that they're great, but sometimes it's expensive. And when you're really coming back into society, you don't have the $1,800, $2,000.
I don't have a great job that I've been at for a while. I don't have any savings. I don't have a place to live, but I'm going to go hire an attorney. Yeah, I don't think that's not the right order for things. It sounds like a little bit about you're giving people some hope.
Yes. And with that hope, you know, we're seeing, just like Mr. Griffin Walter over here, we're seeing success stories. Not only that, but attorneys, which we mentioned, they're coming in and doing pro bono work. They're doing free work. They're assisting because they're willing to go out there and assist individuals who are coming through our program and programs like it to give people second chances. And I think that's the most important thing. It started off with that thought, this is a barrier. And of course, Michigan Works Southeast, our mission is to assist you remove barriers so that you can become employed. And when we started doing this, that's when we started learning that this is a great opportunity for us to not only accomplish our mission, but be great community partners. And that's what it's all about. It's all about us reaching out to the community, working together with the community, providing opportunities. And just a little bit, I don't know if we have time to go into it, but just a little bit about it is it's free. You come in and we'll run your background check. We'll help you fill out your application. We'll do the fingerprinting. When you walk out of, we'll do the notarization that's necessary. When you walk out of Michigan Works with your application, you may have to spend $50, and that's a processing fee to get your fingerprints looked at the state police. But we're even reaching out for sponsorship opportunities and grant opportunities to try to even help with that. So we can bring an individual in, and if they're eligible for expungement, say, hey, listen, we're going to work with you, and we're there every step of the way. If you, even when you leave the office that day after your application, you can contact us at any point in time to say, hey, I have questions.
It sounds like you got a lot of the bases covered, and I know that there's people outside of Washtenaw County, outside of Southeast Michigan, that are seeing the work that Michigan Works is doing and putting a hand up and saying, hey, we want some of that over here, too. Talk to me a little bit about, tell us about who's coming to you to look for advice, and what kind of questions are they asking?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that. We initially, after our first one in October 2017, we got a call from Minnesota. Okay. And it was like, Minnesota's calling us? And they said, well, we heard about this and what you're doing, and we'd like to get more information so that we can, you know, start doing this also. And then we got a call from Upper Michigan, you know, and then we got a call from Alabama. Then we get a call from West Virginia, and we're going like, wow, the word is getting out and people are interested. We're currently assisting the city of Jackson, who is putting together an expungement fair. And myself and Johnny, our service center manager, went up and had a meeting with them, and they like what we've done, and they're trying to recreate it. Along with that, to make it easier, we're working with the University of Michigan, and they're creating, you know, not only a PowerPoint for us, but they're going to document the process. So now that anybody who's interested in
you can almost franchise this out to other groups like Michigan Works. But that's good. I mean, good begets good, and it attracts people that are looking to do more good too. Walter, just give us your concluding thoughts here. I mean, I know that you weren't directly negatively impacted by your past up until this point. You were doing this more just to avoid problems in the future. Yeah. But, you know, if you had a message after coming through this Michigan Works program, you know, what do you want to share? I mean, you got an open mic, you know, tell us your thoughts here. What do you want to let the world know about your experience here? And then just even just you and you as a person and a human being and your place in this community, in this world.
Okay, well, my experience is don't be afraid. See, a lot of people be afraid because they don't want to let people know their business. Mm. So you come in here and you underestimate yourself, basically. Right. Come in and be true with yourself. You got people that will help you. And like Mr. Fluker says here, it's free. I mean, I was out here looking for this stuff myself, and I was talking to lawyers that was charging me $2,500, $3,000, you know, just for what I needed done.
Right. Well, a little bit of their time.
Yeah. Well, it really helped me. It helped me a lot. And by me doing that, it made me strong. So then I felt like Mr. Fluker and Johnny. I want to go out and help other people with this.
Good.
This is true. This helped me. Now I'm out here with them trying to get people in here, get their life changed around, because there's a lot of people out there that are just doing everything wrong because they think their life is messed up. So they're not, they just think. But you got to give yourself a second chance.
It's that hope. It's that hope. And I like to hear that hope from you, Walter. I think, Herb, let's talk about that for just a second. Is there an aspect of this, the people that you know that you could help, but you just can't reach because they're stuck in that cycle of, man, I'm going to keep it safe. I'm going to keep it secret because I don't want to get hurt.
We found that to be true. I think that with people like Walter showing the success, it's helping. Initially, it's that fear of being able to open up to someone thinking that we will cast judgment upon them, which we don't. We're truly here to help, and we're truly here to help people get to their second opportunity, their better chance. So a lot of times, I think it's just getting the word out. And I'm thankful that you're giving us this opportunity to do just that, get the word out to the community. Don't be afraid. Come see us. Call us, you know, and we can sit down with you. We can see if you're eligible. We can work on it, and we'll be there with you each step of the way.
Well, and we love doing this. And again, I go back to the beginning of our chat here. We're proud to be a part of this project with Concentrate Media because we get to talk to people like Walter and like you, Herb, about these great stories. I mean, where else are you going to get a voice to come out and say, listen, you know, I'm a part of this community too and trying to do good. And here's how we're trying to do it. And don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. You know, it's free. You know, come on in. There's this great resource there. And I think for the community at large too, it's, you know, don't be afraid of people like Walter. I mean, he's just trying to do good in the community. Trying to hold a job and pay for his family's bills. I mean, you know, what's wrong with that? Nothing at all. And just trying to avoid a little bit of stress of having that checkbox on there. So we don't want to judge you by your past. We want to judge you by your current actions and your current deeds. And, man, thumbs up all around for what you're doing so far. So thank you. For being part of the community. Thank you for sharing your story here today.
Okay.
Herb, thanks for coming and doing the work you're doing. And tell Johnny thank you as well. We appreciate the work you're doing. We'd love to hear more from you. And Walter, more good stories down the road, you let us know.
Yeah.
Brianna, if people want to learn more about it, we're going to link up information, I'm sure, as part of your story, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure you heard all kinds of great stories this week from people that have gone through this and looking for more hope on the outside as they make their way forward with new jobs and careers and things. We can find that at your story. It's linked up at WEMU.org, but again, we can find you at concentratemedia.com. Tell me again, what do you got going on next week?
Next week, I am writing about pastors and local churches that open their doors to different community groups and offer their own resources to the community. So I'm really trying to dig deep and find out some of the churches that are serving as kind of community hubs in their
awesome.
Neighborhoods.
Great. Can't wait to share that with you. And you can find that at concentratemedia.com and, of course, at WEMU.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.